I mentioned just before we got going into the Mass today about seating in church and how there's no such thing as private benches anymore in church. You sit anywhere. Well, I got my comeuppance, of course, because my chair is a rather nice one. And I got my comeuppance in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Bournemouth, one day when I went into church. And it's one of those moments you can't quite believe is happening, slightly surreal. Sitting in the president's chair on the altar was a guy smoking and reading the newspaper, a little dog by the side of him, you know. And you're lost for words at moments like that. You can't quite believe it. So I said, well, what are you doing up there? He said, well, it's a comfortable seat, mate, isn't it? Very nice. So I said, yeah, but we don't normally sit. All right, mate. He said, no problem. So he got out with his dog and walked out, you see. So, I mean, I've had it as well, so don't worry about it. I'd think about that when I went back. And, these days, you know, we still have, rightly so, to maintain a sense of holiness, a sanctuary, and chairs and benches and so on. But, you know, inevitably the family of God, I don't know about you these days, around the table of at home, do you still have Dad at the top and Mum at the bottom? Or do you all just sit where you could, where you are like? I remember when I couldn't sit in my father's chair. He had one in the sitting room, he had one in the kitchen, you know. You didn't sit in people's chairs. One was for Mum, one was for Dad, and the children sat on the sofa. Well, I hope in a way that that is breaking down. Have a round table. Good one here. A round tables are wonderful because nobody's at the head of that. And it's good for seeing each other and I think conversation. Anyway, that's me. Where am I going with this? Well, I think probably I'm saying that families are very resilient, or should be. You know, someone in a crisis, someone who's hurting. You know, we fail sometimes as children to realize that parents were children at one time, even if they continue to act like them when they're older. But they were children, and they understand you, and they know what it's like, the pains of loss and love and disappointment and all these things. And families are very good at absorbing difficulties. And we can only do that if we trust and respect each other, and doesn't mean to say we agree with each other. That's not the same at all. You wouldn't get anywhere if you kept saying the same thing all the time and saying how much you agree with it when you didn't inside. That would be silliness. But a family that respects and lives with one another in love is a very potent force. And you may have been disappointed, as I was initially disappointed, when I felt the family of God under attack over the abortion bill. And I was very sad, and that's a reasonable emotion, to find that the Assertus motif had been defeated by one vote. But the battle isn't over. And even if the battle is over, the war hasn't been lost by any means, because God's wisdom is greater than man's folly. That's the problem of free will, you see. They can vote as they like, but at the end of the day, it will only compound the folly of human life. God's will is, and wisdom is, far greater. If you choose to ignore it, well, the consequences are very severe, as we can see beginning to happen, as this law is gently making its way through the system. But don't lose heart. The Life Movement has already said that the battle with politics is over, in a sense. Laws in England have been made, abortion is there, so you're not going to overturn it. But what you can do is to provide information and to be there for people to make an informed choice. That's where we come in. At the moment, that's one of the big gaps of this legislation. A poor woman comes worried to death over many things. She anxious, inevitably. Who knows what pressure has been put on her by her partner or her husband or her family or whatever it may be. And she's anxious and worried. It's not the best time to make an informed decision. And if she sees a doctor, then the doctor's going to be dealing with her as she is at that moment. Without usually the alternative of saying to them, there are many organizations, there are people on this island, people especially who have had children who, you know, have disabilities of one kind or another. They are precious. They are wanted. They are needed. Why don't you go and chat to somebody, talk to somebody, and then make your decision? And that pathway of care, which I think we should call it, is really not there. So I think it's at that point that we really must try and put our troops in and pray that we can find ways in which we can bring that to be. You've got a very good parishioner here in Tony who is will give you any information about this whole thing because he's been a part of it for a long time and he knows the pro-life arguments and what's happening at the moment. So just wave a paw, Tony. That's he's there. So there may be some people who don't know you, but so that's and have a word with him and let's see if we can get together a group or something which is concerned about doing something practical. Do you know there are, I think, something like 25 houses, aren't they, sponsored by Life at the moment? To put people, if they're frightened or worried or need to get out of a situation. I think there are 25 houses in England, certainly, where they can go and find help and care and information. Just some space. And that's where I finish, because I reckon too in families, when we've had rows and we've slammed doors and we've run upstairs and thrashed around on the bed or whatever we do, my mother was given to violent hoovering when she was annoyed. You could always tell when something went wrong because she did that and gave the inevitable answer when you said, is there something the matter? No, and then carried on. But you need space, I think, in a family too. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think we have to perhaps provide space for our extended family, those who don't as yet worship, and maybe those who do. That's why this is a new beginning for us after the virus. We're going to, I think, draw much closer together for what we've been through. So I encourage you, if you've not thought about meeting for tea and coffee after Mass, go down just for 2 minutes. Meet your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, share the rumour of God with each other. It's very important. And support each other, especially in our parish, even if you have to go to such wayward and outlandish places as Notre Dame. Go and support. See what you can do. And I hope we're going to start this new and very vibrant community a bit more on the surface rather than underneath the surface. Thank you. And I wish you all the joys of this Mass, the first one we've had for such a long time. Pray for each other and pray for your priests and the clergy of the diocese and our religious, please. Thank you. We need the prayers. Amen.